Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you may be. Welcome to the 2015 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Melissa Campanelli, Editor-in-Chief and Content Director for Total Retail, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's midday keynote, Customer Service Excellent How-To's from Ace Hardware, sponsored by Bronto. As retailers know all too well, nothing is more memorable than good customer service except perhaps for bad customer service. And in today's competitive times, good customer service could be the key factor that turns a one-time customer into an all-the-time customer. Wouldn't it be great if you could learn best practices around this important part of your business from a customer service retail leader? Well, you're in luck today. In today's Q&A keynote session, John Serrain, the Executive Vice President of Merchandising, Marketing, and Sales for Ace Hardware, will offer best practices around how to motivate and empower your staff to make your customers feel as important as they are. For some background, Ace Hardware is a great example of customer service. It was used as a role model in Shep Hyken's best-selling book, Amaze Every Customer, Every Time, was named one of the top 10 customer service brands in the country by Business Week, ranked the highest in customer service in its industry by J.T. Power for the last 8 consecutive years, and just last month, Ace was named the nation's favorite home improvement chain in a study conducted by MarketForce. Today, you'll learn Ace Hardware's customer service philosophy, how to develop an action plan to operationalize and improve customer service for your company, how to inspire employees at all levels, and so much more. Before we get started, let me take a quick second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to this session, you can always click this widget for more information. Also, I want to reiterate that we would love for this to be an interactive session, so please feel free to ask your questions often. To do so, please write them up in the Q&A box and we'll make sure to answer them. Remember, you can ask them at any time, but we'll be holding questions for the end. Without further ado, let me introduce John Serrain. As I mentioned, John is the Executive Vice President of Merchandising, Marketing, and Sales for Ace Hardware Corp. Since joining Ace Hardware in March 2009, John has made significant contributions towards enriching Ace's product assortments. He continues to spearhead the strategic overhaul of paint operations to grow Ace's paint market share from 4% to 10% over 10 years. He has initiated category growth through the launch of Clark plus Kensington, Ace's first ever paint and primer in one, ranked number one by Consumer Reports in 2012. He was also a key driver in establishing Ace's 20-year strategic alliance with Valspar Corporation. He has positioned Ace Hardware as the exclusive retailer for Craftsman products in the convenience hardware industry, driving the largest product selection in the industry at more than 1,000 Craftsman branded products. And John is also focused on defending, enhancing, and building the Ace's brand. Sorry about that. John is also focused on, defending, enhancing, and building the Ace brand to support Ace retailers. John drove the launch of Instant Savings, a program for Ace Rewards members that allows them to receive instant discounts at the register. This launch has increased Ace Rewards membership by nearly 50%, adding an additional 2.6 million members. He has led numerous successful advertising campaigns such as Get Your Weekend Back and Ace's current campaign, Meet the Aces, as well as Ace's first advertising campaign dedicated exclusively to paint, Find Your Soul Paint. In January, John was promoted to Senior Vice President, Merchandising, Advertising, Marketing, and Paint. In early 2012, John's responsibilities expanded to include retail operations and sales. Prior to joining Ace, John was president of Skill Power Tools, a division of Bosch Tools. He also worked at Home Depot in a variety of merchandising and leadership roles. John earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration at Northwestern State University in Louisiana. He holds an MBA from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, and he resides in the Chicagoland area with his wife and two children. So we're really happy to have John here, and let's get started.
Good day, everyone, and thank you very much for allowing me the time to share with you today. I would preface it by saying, with everything that all the tips and the toolbox that we'll kind of unpack for you a little bit today, we say it with humble hearts, And we realize that customer service, and in our terms, helpful, are a dynamic, living, breathing thing that changes every day, and we can never stop learning. So hopefully there's a few things that you can learn from my words today and put into practice in your businesses.
Excellent. Great. Thank you so much, John. So let's go to the first question, and that is to just sort of, can you just tell us a little bit about Ace Hardware? I'm not sure everybody listening knows a lot about your background, the company's background.
Yeah, Ace Hardware is a very, very interesting company, and I'm sure that most know the brand, Ace Hardware, but few really understand the business model and how it's actually set up. Ace Hardware is actually a cooperative, meaning that it's owned by the local store owners. As you can see on the slide, we have about 4,900 stores worldwide. Those stores are actually owned and operated, but owned by just over 3,000 local owners in the communities that they serve. So putting that into really plain terms, I have 3,000 bosses out there that help me and steer me to do my job every day. So that's a little bit interesting that some may not know. Ace is the leader in the convenience hardware market. We have about 20-some-odd percent market share in the $40 billion convenience hardware marketplace. As I said, I think many of you know us as the helpful place, and we want more and more customers to have that slogan top of mind, because that's truly what we try to be. We have about 100,000 associates worldwide. Overall, in terms of retail sales, we do about $14 billion in sales, which is, again, I think most people view Ace Hardware as that small local hardware store on the corner and don't have an idea of the scale of the company worldwide, which is pretty large. The backbone of the organization is really our distribution network, because we're also a wholesaler, meaning that we sell the products to those Ace retailers, to those local Ace retailers, out of 17 distribution centers, 6 cross docks, and a couple of regional distribution centers across the United States. We have set up in Panama, Shanghai, and Dubai. We serve about 40 countries outside of the United States. And that's really an overview and kind of the nuts and bolts of the company. But as we hit the slide and you look to the right of it, that slogan at the top is really important. I think it's something to think about. And I mentioned it earlier a little bit, but Ace is locally owned by neighbors of yours in the communities they serve, but we're a globally known brand. And again, most people think of Ace as a franchise or as a corporately owned group of stores. That's far from the case. We're in our communities for our communities, and we live there. So that's just that's a summary, an overview of what Ace is all about. And what I'd like to do now is share with you a video that we call internally, and this is an internal video for our associates and new hires. We call it Together We Are Ace. And really, I think it'll give you a spirit, or the spirit, of what Ace is all about and the people that make it up.
Great.
Together, we are Ace.
We know that we can do so much more working as one.
Instead of acting alone.
We know we're never just helping our customers.
We're serving our neighbors.
Because everyone who comes through my door is a neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
Howdy, neighbors.
We help them with advice.
We help them with know-how.
We help them get things done.
Because we know what products they need where they live.
Because we live here, too.
This is where we live.
We live right here.
And we want everyone to feel like going to Ace is just like going next door.
Together, we are Ace.
And we'll help our neighbors with anything.
Fix up their home.
Get it ready for company. Take care of their yard.
Get their project done.
Done.
Every one of the 4,800 stores.
In all 50 states.
In more than 60 countries.
All over the globe.
All over the globe.
Is in somebody's neighborhood.
And being the number one distributor in the industry.
Making tens of thousands of products available to our customers.
Like the highest ranked tools.
And the number one paid brand in America.
Number one.
It means we're working as a team to help a lot of neighbors.
Just like they did over 90 years ago.
5 shop owners decided it was better to come together
than to work alone.
And today, all 80,000 of us make up one big Ace family.
So we can better help our neighbors.
Which is why we continue to win customer service awards.
Year after year after year.
Because the helpful place isn't just a slogan.
It's a mission.
That's how we've been doing it for 61 years.
It's been 2 years.
37 years.
32 years.
15 years.
Going out 66 years.
88 years.
37 years.
60 years.
12 years.
77 years.
Together, we're the most helpful store on the planet.
The most helpful.
And that means we are here for our customers.
That means we stand behind our teammates.
It means that behind every Ace store
is more than a store. It's a place full of neighbors.
That is why they keep coming back to Ace.
And why they will for another 90 years.
It means everything.
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 Well, that was a great video. Thank you very much for sharing that. John, I'm going to jump into the next question, which is if you can kind of walk us a little bit more through ACE's customer service philosophy.
Yes, I'd be happy to. When you think about ACE and we think about our philosophy here and what we're trying to do, it's all about owning helpful, as the slide says. We, in order to compete in the marketplace in which we serve, fighting against some of the biggest, most well-funded retailers on the face of the earth, being Home Depot and Lowe's, we have to own helpful. We have to live that. It has to be cultural. And we have to deliver an amazing, as the bottom of the slide will say, and the book that Chef Hyken wrote, we have to amaze every customer every time. So our philosophy and how we talk about customer service really ratchets up to these couple of things, owning helpful and amazing every customer every time. To take this one step further, if you look at our brand, Ace the Helpful Place, and it's been this way now for almost 90 years, we've adopted this as our slogan and our tagline, we set the expectation for better service in our own minds, and we set that expectation with the consumers. And as we flip the slide, you'll see this little statement that says, a brand is a promise. Do you want to be promise keepers or promise breakers? And here's why I'd ask everybody to think about their own brands and what they mean to the consumer and the promises you're making with your brand and your slogan to the customer. Are you really living up to it? And for us, we're saying we're the helpful place. We better live up to it when a consumer meets an associate or thinks about ACE online or otherwise. We better live up to that helpful place slogan because we want to be promise keepers, not promise breakers. Let me give you a couple examples of this, and I'll move on. If you think about other retailers and big brands out there, impressive brands, world-class brands like Amazon, what is their brand promise to the customer, and where would you feel like they kept their promise and broke their promise? Well, in the case of Amazon, as a consumer, I think of them as fast, consistent, with a huge selection of products that I need that I can get to in a very quick and turnkey fashion. Well, if I ordered from Amazon and they didn't deliver my package for over a week, they would break my promise, and their brand would be hurt because of that. So they strive not to do it. When you look at Costco, you think of them, and you think of lots of inventory, great prices. And if you walk into a Costco store and you're not met with those large stacks of inventory and low prices, you wouldn't feel good about being a member there, and it would hurt their brand. So when we talk about Ace Hardware, again, we're making a promise to the consumer that we're the helpful place. Our philosophy is we must live up to that.
Let's see. So could you tell us a little bit about some sort of, I'm sure everybody would love to, all of our listeners would love to emulate, you know, your customer service best practices and philosophy. Can you offer any sort of best practices or sort of a plan that our listeners could use as a guide?
Sure. So what you see on the next slide is really how do we own helpful and what are some best practices that allow us to even say that? Well, I would start with the first piece, which is the vision of our company. And this hasn't changed. This has been the vision of Ace Hardware for more than a decade, and it's to be the most helpful hardware stores on the planet. That's our vision. That's what we want to be. That's what we strive for every day. And that is a moving target, as we all know. Customer service and what consumers recognize as great customer service or helpful will continue to change. So for us to realize our vision, we have to do the second piece to this, which is we have to have enterprise-wide alignment, and we have to build helpful and customer service into our growth strategies, literally. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that on the next slide as well. But really what I mean by that is embed and live helpful and put it into your strategy so that it's never not top of mind. Whenever you wake up in the morning, you think about what I have to do today, building a helpful environment in our stores and helping our stores with tools to provide helpful service is key. That's what our strategy is built on. And again, I'll touch on that a little bit more when I share with you some of our strategic pillars. Second piece is about helpful certification. And what I mean by that is what we've done and what I think is a best practice is to build a curriculum, literally a curriculum like we all had going through school, and then operationalize it, make it part, as I said earlier, part of your everyday business. This is key, again, because it's not natural in many cases for associates on the store of a floor to go the extra mile to provide that excellent customer service experience. So they have to be trained, and then it has to be operationalized, a way of life for them on the floors of the store. And then third, you have to measure it, dogmatically monitor customer experiences and satisfaction. It's easy, really easy, to point out the stars and the great customer satisfaction experiences that customers sometimes report, and it's easy to look past those moments of poor customer service. And so if we're not consistently monitoring customer satisfaction through what we call the helpful index, we'll lose sight of what customers really think about ACE, and we can't allow that to happen. Let me dig a little bit further for you on the first piece, which is really about enterprise-wide alignment and growth strategies. At ACE, back in 2013, we launched what we call our 7-year retail growth strategy, and we're calling it 2020 Vision. And it's a catchy title basically that says, hey, we've got focus on our strategies, and they're going to run us for the next 7 years. We're not going to be changing our strategy every year. We're going to run these strategies for 7 years and make sure that we execute them with excellence. So as you see on the slide now, there's three key strategic pillars: investing in the brand, making it stronger, improving the assortment, putting better products on the shelf for our customers to find in their local markets, and then be the supply place. We have a major business-to-business initiative going on to grow. But there's a fourth pillar here that you don't see, and I'll put on the board now, and that's about fulfilling the helpful promise. And what I'm stressing upon now is that this is our 7-year growth strategy, and these are the four key pillars within it, and you can see how fulfilling the helpful promise is right in the heart of it. It's a key primary focus that the enterprise will align itself around. We'll be investing major dollars and resources in this direction, and we'll never allow it to be anything less than top of mind. As we flip to the next slide on how we own helpful and what some of these tips are, here I want to give you a little bit of a tangible example of what we're trying to do and how we're training our stores to have a consistent and predictable behavior on the store floor and how they treat customers. We call these things trademark behaviors, and this is basic stuff. And I think if you ask yourself the question, what's a great customer experience in any retail store, you would want the associate that's serving you to pursue it in this fashion. And this is very simple. We call them the five trademark behaviors. You'd want that associate in the store to approach you, not wait in a corner somewhere for you to come find them. You'd want that associate to ask questions, not just throw out answers that weren't really what you were looking for. You'd want that customer or that associate to recommend what products, not just what you thought you might need, but recommend it based on product knowledge and what will help you get your job done right. You want that associate to be confident, and this is one where we've all experienced. You get an associate that might say, oh, I think that might be what you need, but I'm not sure. Go try it. Well, that's not very helpful. And then finally, we want associates, and you want an associate that will build a little bit of a relationship with you and learn about you a little bit. We believe that execution of these simple five trademark behaviors will lead to an amazing customer service and loyalty from our customers, and we've seen it work. And this next slide will really expound upon that. I mean, as business leaders, we have to look at what's important. And whether we like it or not in business, we keep score with money and we keep score with profit. And if those things aren't coming in, then we don't have healthy businesses and we can't even afford to do training and really help nourish our associates. So the first thing that matters with all this philosophy and things that we're talking about is it increasing sales and profit? Sometimes training is a windy road to see that actual ROI on the investment in it. Well, what you're seeing in the graph on the right side of the page is that's results from about 2,000 stores that have gone through what we call Helpful 101 and Helpful 201 curriculum, and how their sales have responded, outpacing sales from stores that haven't gone through the curriculum by almost 2 times. That's real tangible evidence that better trained associates that provide better customer service will drive better results. Second piece is adapt and differentiate or die. We hear this a lot, but it holds true with in our case, Helpful or customer service in general. People want to be served differently than they did today than they did 5 years ago. So we have to adapt. We have to understand what those customer things that make customers happy today and how they want to be served and adapt to those. We have to differentiate, and in our case, we put a lot of that into our assortments. We want our stores to be local, think local, and differentiate their assortment according to what consumers need in those communities. We do a good job there. If we don't, the big boxes and other big retailers will eat us up, and we won't be relevant anymore. So that's a key one. And then finally, I think this is a really important piece to remember. It's a part of the ACE culture. We're very serious about our value system. And we're very serious about the bigger purpose of business. And in our case, I'd offer to you that when we make our stores and when our stores are more profitable and more successful, when that local owner is more successful and making more money, that owner now has the ability to take better care of his family or her family. They have the ability to take better care of the associates that work for him in the store, pay them more, give them better benefits. They have the ability to take better care of their communities and serve their customers better because they can invest in their businesses because they're successful. And then finally, they can be better servants of the community and those that are in need. And those four things are the result, we believe, of healthy, profitable businesses. And that only comes in ACE from providing that amazing customer service every time. So to sum all that up, that was a lot of words, and I know we're on a phone call here, so it's hard to see me. But to sum all that up, I'd give you four simple steps. One, build it into your culture. Build customer service. Build Helpful into your customer and into your strategies and have a customer first mindset. Second, you got to embed it into your strategies, and you got to operationalize it. Make it a habit, everyday thing that you do, as opposed to I've got to go help customers in a better way. It doesn't work that way. You've got to have a very operationalized setup. Train, the third bullet. You can't do enough. People need reinforcement, and they need to be trained, and they need to be trained on simple but effective things like the five trademark behaviors that I shared with you a moment ago. And then finally, no matter what level you are in a company, you are a leader. And when you're an associate on the store floor in front of a customer, you're a leader and you're on display for your customer, which is your most valuable asset. So at every level, inspire employees and lead. Those are four simple steps that, again, I think many of you have probably heard many times, but to put them into practice is much more difficult than to put them into words. That's why I offer them to you today.
Great. I know that customer service obviously is a big part of your company culture and your philosophy at ACE. So tell me a little bit about the ACE Center for Excellence that I've been hearing about. Sort of what is it and what can our listeners or retailers get from it?
Yes, I'd start with, as I started this conversation this morning, which is, look, here at ACE, we're not sitting here like we're on top of the mountain of customer service and we know it all and we have all the answers. But I would say that our brand has become synonymous with Helpful and with great customer service. And because of that, kind of on an ad hoc basis over the years, we've been asked by many large companies across the country to come in and talk to them about, hey, what do you guys do to build that excellence in your customer service philosophy? And we've gone out and done, again, many ad hoc engagements. Through that, we thought, you know, and by the way, we participate in a lot of them as well, because it's very healthy to get different perspectives on how to serve customers. So not only do we have the center now, but we participate in a lot of these types of activities. But through those experiences, we decided this is a great way for us to extend on our brand promise and to share it with other companies that can benefit from it. And we think it's a reciprocal relationship. As we're training and as we're out doing engagements with companies, we know we'll learn more along the way as well. So that's how we got into it. To tell you a little bit more about it, heck, the best way is to look at this toolbox that we've created on the right side of the page. On the next slide. That'll give you kind of the 10 ways that we believe that the center can help you run a more successful business, and more precisely how you can provide better customer service than you do today.
Great. And we can give you guys some more information on Tyler about the center later on during the Q&A, but just going to jump ahead to the last question. And we did talk a lot about customer service philosophy, ACES customer service philosophy, but I would love to know about any just kind of customer service trends, since you guys are experts in the space, that you're tracking or that you're following right now.
Yeah, these trends, and there's about a dozen more that we all face as we look at our businesses today, and we see how customers want to be treated different, their shopping habits are changing, what excellent really means in customer service is changing every day, and these factors, such as the first bullet here, and the omni-channel, and the desire for us to all have omni-channel linkage to our customers, you know, and enabling this seamless shopping experience, how and where the consumer wants to be served. It's very difficult, and there's all points around the continuum. I'd like to focus on or share with you just a couple of things that we're doing to really be seamless to our customers and to build upon our value equation of being more helpful and being local, which is what free in-store pickup, which is becoming a common kind of everyday practice by most retailers, but some do it better than others. And then the second piece would be express delivery that we're working on. So free store pickup, we think, is a big deal for ACE. If you think about having 4,400 retail locations in communities across America and having that inventory in those stores available at the fingertips from a keyboard, available to customers, that's a very powerful equation. If you look at what big retailers are doing now, and even in Amazon, they're putting in millions of square footage of distribution space and inventory all across the country to be more local with their inventory to be able to deliver it quicker. Well, ACE is already set up that way. So for us, one of the big moves in omnichannel is to have that seamless, I can see it online, my store on the corner, my ACE store on the corner has that product in stock. I can purchase it online or just go pick it up at the store. So that's a big initiative. And then take that one step further. A really exciting platform that we're working on now, and we have several markets in pilot now as I speak. And that's express delivery. Think about this for a second. It's Saturday morning. You wake up. You want to do a project outside. You don't have a lawnmower. You don't have soils. You don't have mulch. It's as simple in the future potentially as getting online, putting an order into your local ACE store by 1 o'clock, and having it delivered to your home that same day from your local ACE store. And one step further, our vision is for that lawnmower that you purchased to have gas in it, have oil in it, and have somebody deliver it that actually knows how to turn it on and get you started with your job that day. It's a very powerful value proposition that we believe is an extension of helpful and an extension of our brand promise that can really take us to the next step. So omnichannel is very important. And it's, like I said, it's all across the continuum. There's 1,000 points to talk about, but those are two that are big for us. Second piece, big data. We hear a lot about this. And how are you really using data to enhance your relationship with your customer? And the one way we're really driving this is through our ACE Rewards program. We have about 35 million ACE Rewards members in our database now. That's one of the largest loyalty programs in retail today. And with that, we actually know through analyzing our data, in many cases, what our customers need and want before they even know. So the key to this is tapping into that data with powerful analytics and predicting what customers need in their local communities and then reaching out to them through the loyalty program to trigger them to come in and let ACE take care of them. So big data is a very big consumer trend. How you use it is extremely important. Sending meaningless emails to people with no data behind it to justify it is a bad business practice, and consumers won't find that to be helpful at all. Retail technology is the fourth piece. A lot going on here. It's really, when you go in the store environment today and you're greeted by somebody that has an iPad in their hand and they're trying to help you through a purchase decision with that, or beacons in the stores that actually tap into your cell phones when you walk in and know you're there and know a little bit about you when you're walking in those store environments. All this retail technology is changing, and all I'd say here is, because I'm not an expert in this field, is we got to pay attention to it. And while we often want to look past that next technological breakthrough, we can't afford to do it because, again, our customers are going to expect us to treat them differently based on these retail technology that are developing around us. And then finally for us, this is a big one. It's about localizing that assortment. If you're living in a small rural town, we want to know what your interests are and what sort of insecticides you need to control the pests that are in your given local community. We call this Know Thy Neighbor, and we expect each of our 4,400 stores to know their neighbors and what assortment they would need. And then we can provide them, based on that, again, a more helpful, a better customer experience. This is one way we think ACE has an advantage over others, because remember, that local owner lives and works and his kids in the Little League in that community that he's trying to put product in the store to support. So we believe we have an advantage here. So those are just four trends that came top of mind when the question came across that I think we can all learn a little bit from.
Great. So thank you so much for all of that great information, the trends, the philosophy, customer service, best practices. But we have about 10 minutes for questions, and we actually have gotten some, but we'd love you guys, as I said earlier, to continue to ask them because this is the fun stuff. So I'm just going to jump in and ask some of these questions, Sean, and you let me know. I'd be happy to hear your perspective on some of these. Let's see. How do you measure sort of sales and service in terms of performance? I mean, do you have any performance incentives provided to stores to meet those sales service metrics or anything like that?
We do, and in the 2020 Vision retail growth strategy that I outlined for you, first step to that is retailers have to sign up, and they become then what we call visionaries. It means they want to take the they want to take that step with us to create a stronger, healthier retail business. And then we have a couple steps for them to take. They're visionaries when they sign up, and then there's platinum performance and pinnacle performance. The performance to step into those different qualifications, there's about 15 key retail fundamentals and metrics that we measure. So, for example, as it pertains to this customer service conversation, we have what we call the Helpful Index, which is based on mystery shops, as well as in-store customer surveys and intercepts that we build an index around and then grade the stores accordingly. Based on their scores on those indexes, they can either qualify for platinum or pinnacle performance. And so we take that very serious. If you can't measure the initiative, it's going to be very hard to change behavior because you got to have a scorecard and you have to be able to tell people how they're performing in a pretty precise manner.
Actually, the person asked a similar question about secret shoppers or mystery shopper programs, which you just mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you use that kind of a tool to track customer service?
Yeah, if you're in this retail growth strategy, if you signed up to be a visionary, each store is required to do at least 2 mystery shops per month, and the mystery shop is performed by an outside group that we employ, and they come in with a series of questions as a mystery shopper that they have for the associates that have been refined and refined and refined and changed, and we're hoping to dial those in just right because the question that that mystery shopper asked is super important, and they want to draw out the real important customer service aspects, not just did you greet the customer. It's much deeper than that. But we employ these mystery shoppers 2 a month, and then we grade and keep the store up to speed on that, and we train them accordingly. We may dial in their curriculum for how they need to advance their store based on those mystery shop results.
And what are some of the things that they're tracking, just not to belabor it, but just kind of what are they tracking in terms of customer service? Like if, how many seconds it takes for someone to come to them or?
Exactly. How long it takes to be greeted when you come in the store? What was the nature of the greeting? Was it hi, or was it an actual question that we want to use, like what can I help you find today? It's about the appearance of the associates in the store. Are they dressed properly, well-groomed? They ask engagement questions of the associates, like where are the nuts and bolts? And does the associate actually walk them over and ask them what they're using them for and what else you might need with that purchase? All of those series of questions are what they ask. And then they document each step of that, and it comes in electronically, and we can compile the information.
Great, excellent. Let's see. You mentioned earlier when you were discussing ACE that you guys also are a wholesaler. Would you say that there's any difference in terms of customer service between your B2B and your B2C customers?
Yes, the B2B customer, and when we talk business to business, think about the businesses that buy products from a Costco environment or a Grainger. Those are the types of businesses we're going after. Not necessarily the big MRO or factory customers. We're looking to sell to businesses that are of similar size to us. So 20 associates, $2 million operations, and we believe that we have those products in stock and in our warehouses to serve that customer. With that said, the way we serve them is we want to provoke an owner-to-owner type relationship. We believe that's where we can win. We think it's very powerful when a local owner of an ACE store talks directly to the local owner of the flower shop or the florist mm-hmm. down the street. That relationship is on higher ground, we think, and we can build long-term healthy relationships based on that. So it's much different than a consumer, a B2C type equation.
And are most of the wholesale programs that you have local? Like you're not really, you're working in the local community. You're not handling them from the headquarters.
They're all local. What we do here at the headquarters in Oak Brook, Illinois, is we simply provide those local owners the tools they need to make those engagements.
Got it. Great. I thought this was an interesting question, especially based on what you were talking about earlier around omnichannel. You know, what are some programs that you do, or how do you how do you work it in such that the independently owned stores create seamless experiences across all channels, including your e-commerce strategy?
Yeah, there's a lot to this question, and I would tell you that this is an area where we're not world class. We have work to do here, and frankly, when you look at how e-commerce has developed so rapidly over the last 5 years, we're not trying to be first mover, and we don't necessarily need to be. The core of our e-commerce and our omni-channel strategies is very simple, and it is to, number one, drive consumers to their local store. Not necessarily to drive transactions online. We want to drive consumers there. And that's why programs like in-store pickup that I described and express mm-hmm. delivery, those all involve the local store in a more personal fashion. It's not just a faceless transaction online. We want the store to be right in the center of that relationship. But with that said, we do realize to maintain relevance, we have to participate. We have to be able to display literally hundreds of thousands of items online for our consumers. We have to be mobile. We have to be on iPads. We have to be in the social networks. And we have to be across the whole spectrum in a very relevant fashion. So we're working in all those directions. But again, I wouldn't say we're the We're the trailblazer when it comes to
Yeah, well, that's a lot easier said than done, omnichannel. I can tell you that. I can tell from, you know, talking to so many retailers over the years. So you did just mention social media, and that is kind of an interesting topic, I think, in the customer service space. So how, in general, do you use, you know, social media as opposed, you know, as it, when it comes to customer service? I mean, you hear stories about people, you know, creating products based on popularity they see via some tweets that people send, or, you know, being able to track a concern quickly and fix it instead of having to go through the more traditional channels. So I would just love to hear your philosophy around that.
Yeah, we have a little bit of a blessing and a curse situation with this, because you can imagine with having over 3,000 owners, they all realize that they need to be part of the social network and they have to be out there and alive with their local businesses. And most of them, or I'd say many of them, are. But we all realize that there's a responsibility with that. If you're out there on Facebook and you're representing your business, you can't just be there to sell stuff and then not be there all the time to respond to what consumers or what your followers are asking. And so what we do is, of course, we have some standards around that we try and help our retailers with, but we also have a staff here in the corporate office that monitors the social channels and makes sure that consumers are not left out there without responses. So we kind of have a backup strategy should the store need help in managing those relationships.
That's great. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of it is at the local level with your company, which I think is great. And I have one more question, and we still have a few more minutes if anybody has any additional questions they'd like to ask John. But you did talk about assortment earlier, like the importance of having local assortment. Can you talk a little bit about how you are able to decide what types of products work best in what types of companies? Is it, I'm sure it's some sort of a data process, but any more insight into that? I just think that's really interesting.
Well, this is again, I think a big piece of our value equation and a big piece that makes this company go for the last 90 years, and that is, yeah, we have data and we have trends and we work closely with our vendor partners who supply us all the products to make recommendations on where products should go and what regions. But the best source for that, clearly, is the people in the stores and those owners and their local entrepreneurs. And so you can't name a product category, almost literally, that we don't have a store across the United States that does a nice business in it. We have a store down in Houston, as an example. You'd never imagine this, an Ace Hardware store that's one of the largest Pandora jewelry retailers in the country.
What? That's so interesting.
And it's an Ace Hardware store. And the reason why is because the owner, Rick Alsbaugh is the owner's name down there, his wife is really into this category. So he split off a segment of his store and opened up this store-in-store Pandora shop. And, again, they're one of the largest in the country. And it was driven because they're living in the Houston area. They're in one of the most highest income neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And there's a big market for it, and it was unserved. That retailer tapped into that and is able to take advantage. And that's just one example of really 1,000 that I could give you about how our local owners do select these categories based on the community need.
Great. Okay, great. Well, I think that's probably all we have time for, but I do want to just let the listeners know that John talked about the ACE Center for Excellence, and if they, you know, we would love to have you find out more about that. You can do so by going to accenterforexcellence.com. That's accenterforexcellence.com. Or you can contact Dana Larson over at ACE directly at dvanw@acehardware.com. And her phone number is 630-297-6612. But that is some information about the ACE Center for Excellence. So with that, we have one more quick question, and that was about the book that was written about Ace Hardware. John, can you just briefly – I briefly mentioned it at the beginning, but can you just quickly tell the audience about that?
Yeah, we got together with Shep Hyken, and Shep's written many books, and he's actually spoken at many of our conventions and our engagements with our retailers. And so we got together about 3 years ago now, and Shep basically chronicled his travels and his conventions and all the engagements he's had with Ace Retailers and wrote a book about it. The book's called Amaze Every Customer Every Time, and it's basically a toolbox that you can use to help build, or tools in the book that'll help you build your own toolbox to help you serve your customers better. It's a really good read. It's quick. There's a bunch of stories about, little stories about how Ace hardware retailers have served customers, things like fixing a bike to any number of things you can think of. But there's 52 tools in there. He did a nice job. I think it does a good job of outlining what Ace is all about.
And I guess you could just kind of get that at Amazon or something like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's out on Amazon. And funny enough, because I haven't read the book in a couple of years and I was doing this conversation with you this morning, I actually just punched it up on the audiobooks and listened on the way into work. So it's there, too, if you want to listen to it.
Great. Excellent. Okay, well, I think that's about all we have time for. But on behalf of Total Retail and Bronto, who was the sponsor for this session, I want to thank you all again for attending the session. And I also want to especially thank John for a great presentation, great useful information that I'm sure our listeners will be really happy to have. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, I encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with the other session attendees. And you can also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And that would be most helpful if you could do that. And one more thing, if you miss anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting Thursday. So have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much.